and Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I want to thank our Saratoga All-Star co-hosts this morning, Nancy Muldoon. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And since you're now one of the All-Stars, you'll be a co-host every so often.
Great.
And I'm glad of that. We had a bunch of information to bring you this morning. A lot of it is things that have happened already, like the past elections, both in Saratoga and nationally. And we'll get the local tidbit out of the way. There's only really one thing that was important, and that was the charter, which wanted to reinvent the current charter that we had, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And they got defeated 2-1, and which is a good thing. And if you've been with us for quite a bit, you'd know that we were pushing against it, and the people realized that it wasn't that great of a change. So it did fail, and you know, all the other elections were pretty much on a state level. So we'll get to the state level first. And pretty much all the assembly people for the state, and I think we had a Republican senator elected statewide to replace Kathy Marchione. I think a Democrat and Republican were running against that or for that post, and the Republican won. So that was the only races locally that affected us.
Well, there's that Morgan Zegers, which I admire anybody that's that young, regardless of what party they're with.
Uh-huh.
I thought that she ran a really good campaign. She did social media. Everything was really on point. She got her message across. And even though she didn't win, I thought it was a very admirable start to a political career, if that's what she's pursuing.
Sure. Now, what line did she run on?
The Republican and conservative
line. The Republican? Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's running against Kerry Warner.
Okay, that's right. You know, I'm a big believer in term limits, whether it be state or
and not just
federal.
For Republicans. Not just for politicians.
No.
I think for everybody. I think everybody, regardless of what you're doing, I think if you've been doing the same job for 20 years, maybe it's time to do something else.
But not being married. I mean, you don't want to give it up after 20 years and say, all right, I'm trading you in.
I think I'm thinking more along the lines of, you know, teachers. And I think we've all had teachers that should have retired, you know, 10 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, well, they do have a sort of mandatory retirement at 50, they can go at 55, which isn't really, at least they have a cutoff where you have a job like a U.S. senator or a congressman, they can be in there for 50 years. And
yeah.
It always makes me laugh that, you know, you get somebody that's sick and can't perform their duties either in the Senate or Congress, and they're still there. I mean, they're still... Instead of replacing them because they can't perform their duties, they're in office until the next election. And I've seen it where somebody had died and they still got reelected.
More than once, too, which is...
Oh, I'm sure it has.
It's a sad commentary on our process.
And a lot of times when, let's say it's a male congressman or a senator, if they pass away in office, usually the spouse is named as the congressman or senator a lot of times. But that depends on who the governor, I think, is of the state. I think that's...
Speaking of governor,
yeah.
I'm very, very disappointed that Cuomo got in, but I'm not surprised.
No, I'm not surprised either.
Won even less counties this time than he did last time.
Yeah, it's tough that a little more than half the population in New York State is south of Westchester County.
Right.
And north of the county, which comprises probably three-quarters of the land, and area-wise is less than half of the state's population. I mean, way less than half.
I know that there's the myth that continues to get perpetuated in every election cycle is that everybody downstate votes Democrat. I don't believe that. I don't think that, think about Wall Street. There's a lot of conservatives that live in New York, too. Of course, they're not really, nobody really talks about that.
Yeah, no, they don't. But, I was reading something about that. And when you go to see the numbers, like in Queens, all right, you may have had 25,000 Republicans vote, but then you had over 300,000 Democrats vote. And it's the same way with all the counties down there. I mean, it's amazing the
I think we need a new
proportion.
System. I mean, there's 62 counties in New York State. I think Cuomo only grabbed 9 this time. I think he grabbed 11 last time.
Yeah,
it was something really ridiculous like that. It looked like the entire state had voted for his opponent.
Right.
Molinaro.
Blue state counties in New York State are west, I think, like around Binghamton, and if I'm not mistaken, around the Syracuse area. There's a few counties out that way. The rest is red all through New York State, and you got Long Island and of course New York City and that like I say, there's I think the population in New York State is 17 million and over 9 million live just in that concentrated area of Long Island and New York City, and that's a little bit much. I am for, I would love to see New York broken up into two states.
I think a lot of New Yorkers would.
And it could be like the Dakotas. You'd have North New York and South New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend who... said, yeah, but we are dependent upon New York City for a lot of financial things. And I don't buy that because New York City is a hub. I mean, it's one of the largest cities as far as the business world goes. But up north, they need a lot of our products, too, down south. I mean, we regulate the Hudson River, so they keep the salt water from coming into New York's downstate. But, we would keep our own taxes. We're a service industry, a tourist industry attraction up here. I was very surprised the other day. I got lost taking one of the students home in Hadley. And we were riding, my monitor and I were riding the countryside trying to figure out how the heck to get back to the Northway to get home. And I was shocked up to see the things up there that there's motel after motels after motels. And
there's some B&Bs up there, too.
Some restaurants, yeah. And so one of the girls that does a podcast on the internet station lives up there, and she said in the summer you can't even move. I mean, it's like you're in a tie-up like you are on the Northway in the morning because people come from all over the place. They have tennis, big tennis courts. They have horse riding. They have lakes up there that people go fishing. She said they even get people from overseas to vacation there.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful area. I mean, and I said, well, where is the best horse riding place to go? And she says, well, you go down the main road and head out and take a right at the rock that looks like a bear. Go down about a mile and then take a left at the bear that looks like a rock. And I said, okay. That's enough. But I was surprised how much, and that's only one little resource. I mean, we have so much in upstate New York and in the western part of the state, the wine country out west. We got Lake Placid and the ski areas, and I think we could do quite well without New York City.
Yeah.
And I think it would be more of a representative area that way, because we know there'll never be a Republican elected governor.
Well, just the fact that, you know, remember when Cynthia Nixon was running the primary, and neither one of them in their debate ever mentioned, not even once, upstate New York. That's very telling also.
Well, it is. And, you know, we have two of probably the worst U.S. senators that there are. And, I mean, you just can't run a Republican against either one of them. But, you know, according to your last comment, is leads me to another federal question, in that you talked about the governor coming upstate complete. Now, the Republican candidate came upstate many times. So did the Libertarian candidate.
And Mark Molinaro was willing to go on shows like Fred Dicker and places like that. Cuomo never does things.
No,
like
he
that.
Doesn't.
Cuomo is all about himself.
Right. So, you know, never having to touch an area because you're not worried about getting their votes to begin with just reinforces.
I think Cuomo just operates as if he has complete contempt for all New Yorkers, you know, with the exception of his crony friends.
Right, that end up in prison, that he doesn't know anything about.
Yes, even though he's a micromanager and he's well known for being a micromanager. Yes, yep.
But on a national level, that just reinforced my belief in the Electoral College. Because if you didn't have the Electoral College, the candidates wouldn't have to go into small states. The Midwest would be a flyover area, because why bother going there when the biggest states are on the coast? And, you know, I mean, New York, Florida, California,
Florida.
Texas.
Speaking of Florida, what a mess.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that, you know what? That's, but we say what a mess, but it is a mess. But that's the way they operate down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm
not a big fan of anything Florida.
Well, but Broward County and what is it? Palm Beach County, or I can't remember the other county, but I mean, they're so crooked that you got to expect this.
I know someone who had mentioned to me on Election Day that that they worked for DMV and they had been down south, and they said anybody with a photocopier could reproduce documents and produce them in the south at DMV, and they would accept them.
Yeah.
I mean, New York State is pretty tough, as you know. Anybody who's ever dealt with DMV in New York State, you know, They really ride you for anything that you do there. You have to produce all sorts of documentation and identification and stuff like that. And she said it just wasn't like that down there in the southern states, that anybody could reproduce any documents with a photocopier.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, especially when you have your election commissioners helping you do it. I mean,
well, you'd think with all the technology that we have today, I mean, even think about just the technology on a smartphone. Is just incredible. And you think with all the technology that we have today, we would be able to come up with a better system for each and every state, especially regarding elections.
I believe there should be an ID. Everyone should have an ID.
you need an ID to cash a check.
Right.
You need it to open a bank account. And I know somebody, I'm not going to say names. They keep saying that the African American would be disenfranchised, but that's absurd. Every black person I know, just like every white person I know, has photo ID.
That's
absurd.
Well, you know, to buy a six pack of beer, you need an ID. Even if you're 80 years old, you got to show them your ID.
Right.
You need an ID to buy cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yeah, that's true.
Yet the most important privilege that we have as an American is to vote, and you don't need a card for that, and there have been proven facts down in that Broward County that illegal aliens voted.
I hear a lot of people's pets vote also.
Right, they do. Tabby the cat voted. and that many people that weren't registered to vote voted. And I mean, they were trying to get away.
There's always somebody that walks in and say, can I register to vote?
Oh, yeah.
Which is absurd.
Well, then, too, see, they have a law down there that any vote that comes in after mail-in or that comes in after 7 o'clock
Well, what are your thoughts on
counted.
This early voting? I mean, should we
I don't like early voting. No, I don't like early voting. There's no reason to early vote.
Well, what about elderly people that can't get out?
Absentee ballot.
Right.
Give them an absentee ballot. Have them mail it in. They can do that. Usually, that in most of these senior homes, they have mail.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You know, this early voting is just insane. I mean, you know.
I think we should come up with a much better system. Clearly, there's so much voter fraud, and it's very disappointing to you know, in this day and age, we're very critical of other nations that have very obvious voter fraud. But nobody wants to admit that we have voter fraud here in America, and we
no.
do. There's lots of it.
Or our system can be improved. I mean, we saw that, I mean, a little microcosm of that in last year's election for the charter, where over 9,000 people voted to change the form of government, and it lost by 10 votes. Well, in our case, we wanted to have a recount of the TIFF files, because now with computer, you know, computers can make an error, as we've seen down there, that the computers picked up some wrong information, supposedly, and so they have to look at those files different. But we were told by the company who made the voting machines that there's a margin of error between 1 or 2% either way. Well, this losing by 10% out of, or 10 votes out of 9,000 votes, I think Pat had it where it's like 1/100th of a percent.
Mm-hmm.
But the county won't let us have a recount.
Right.
So that's sad. Now, that
is
a... That's something that can be improved upon.
Yes.
And yet they won't allow it to be improved. So,
which is absurd.
Right.
It's just absurd. Yeah.
So I think maybe politicians shouldn't run the elections. It should be citizens that, you know, that run the elections, run the election when people come in to vote, and politicians should stay away, not even be allowed to enter the building. And you know, we had a problem last year that I caught, and had made a phone call to one of the wherever you call the county or that, the mayor that lost, Mark Baker, was going into the polling districts with giving them apples with a tag that says Baker for mayor. Hold on a second. We have a caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Rick.
How you
Uncle
doing?
Jack.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'll tell you about Grandma later. I drove home from her rehab facility to listen to your program.
Oh.
And I've been listening to what you're saying about politics and all that. Did you know I have a solution for all this?
yeah, we'll become a... No, go ahead. What's that?
My Watson computers.
Yeah.
IBM can program Watson computers with the state demographics, have 50 computers do the job. We could save the salaries of all those House of Representatives and senators and everything, and the state would be represented, and the computers would make intelligent decisions quickly, and it would be less costly for everybody, and you wouldn't even have an election system. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds
you know what? It's too smart. It'll never happen. Because,
Oh, you're nice.
You know, it's just like when...
Aunt Marie is pretty sick. She celebrated her 93rd birthday and was taken to the hospital by an ambulance, and now she's in a rehab facility.
Really? Well, are you going to be home later? I'll give you a call.
Well, probably this afternoon.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you a call this afternoon. But you're right. The things to make the United States a little simpler is just passed over. It reminds me of the time when Steve Forbes went to had come out with a tax. Everybody would pay the same amount of tax, a use tax, on any purchase that they bought. It would be the same flat tax. Well, they showed where they would make more money than what Americans are paying now. And you could eliminate the IRS because almost every state has a state sales tax division, and they could process all this. But it was, so if you buy a canoe, you're paying the 18% on the canoe. If I buy a yacht, I'm paying 18% on the yacht. And see, there would be no elimination through your income tax, a write-off or anything.
Or inequality.
Right. But what would happen is
and every year they could adjust the percent as required by the debt.
Right. And see, everything, everybody would be paying the same percentage, and they would even give you a certain amount in the beginning of the year as a deduction. Like every person, every taxpayer would get $3,500, I think it was. And but see, then the money wouldn't be controlled by Congress and the Senate.
Right.
And you would take that out of their hands, and you'd be in big trouble then because they couldn't fulfill their pork benefits. And, it makes too much sense, and we can't have that in this country.
Yeah.
It's got to be insane.
No, I agree.
So.
And I want to know, let me just tell you this.
Yeah. Okay.
I love Florida, but I miss New York like nobody's business.
Well, I know. And you know.
And since my hip operations, I could ski again, I think.
So what you have to do is move back up here. You know?
Well, I got to stay with Marie.
Come up to an area that doesn't get a lot of snow like Syracuse did, you know? I mean.
Yeah. Rick, she's 93.
I know. It's amazing.
And I'm 87.
That's amazing, I'll tell you.
And I skipped in Walmart Carter's. Anyway, I'll let you get on with your program. I enjoy listening to you Saturdays.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm glad you listen and call. All right, okay. We'll talk to you this afternoon.
You bet.
Okay, bye-bye. Yes, I'm blessed with some genes my mother's side of the family. My aunt turned 93, and I'll find out what happened. But up until then, she was as active as you can be. So God bless her, and we'll talk to her later. But we were saying the Electoral College. New York is a perfect example of why you need an Electoral College, because the governor didn't have to come up anywhere in the Adirondacks, only in the bigger cities like Binghamton and Syracuse, which kind of lean a little to the Democratic side.
Well, nationally, New York has become completely irrelevant. I mean, we haven't been the empire or anything in about 50 years.
So is California.
Look at the presidential elections. I mean, they don't come to New York to walk around and meet the New Yorkers.
They don't need to.
Right.
They don't need to, and this is why people that say they want to get rid of the Electoral College, and then your elections would be decided by four or five states.
So right now we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back on the other side in just a few minutes. Okay, we're back with you, and I'm going to give some turkey Thanksgiving facts now while we continue to take our break before we get back into some local news. Although I do want to say that it's a shame about the California fires out there. You know, the destruction is unreal. I think they're losing about 8 football fields a second, and it's terrible. But on the other hand, listening to some of the weather people, that, you know, this climate change has nothing to do with that. Mother Nature is probably 98% responsible for all the destruction we have from storms and fires like this. They gave a figure that, and President Trump even gave the figure. They of course said he was nuts. But there's 183 million trees that are dead in the woods of California and the forest. And when you think about 183 million trees that are dead, that's an awful lot of kindling that these fires can grow on. And you would think California's a dry state. You can't, it's always been a dry state. And you would think that because of all these fires, they would be a little proactive in cutting down and clearing these 183 million dead trees. But because of State Tree Protection Act and the Environmental Protection Acts, none of these trees can be removed from the forest. So when a forest catches on fire, it's kindling wood for fire consumption. And I think that the laws have to be changed in California. These fires are getting bigger and bigger, killing more people, putting...
It's shocking how many people have died. And yeah. They're finding, like, hardly any remains. It's so bad.
Right. And the people they're looking...
41 people now.
And the people they're looking for.
Yeah.
There's 200 or 300 people that they are looking for them.
God.
So I think California is going to have to become proactive with their forests and woods and start getting these they can have people go in and harvest those trees and sell it for firewood if they have to in other states or whatever, even in California, up north in that. But get that dead wood out of the forest. I mean, you're just asking for trouble. Mm-hmm. So because what do you start a fire with in a fireplace? You don't light your logs. You use kindling wood. And that's, unfortunately, what these 183 million dead trees are kindling.
I think they're praying for rain right now.
They are.
There's going to be rain possibly Tuesday.
Oh, good.
Clearly not.
And I hope. And then they have the Santa Anita winds, too, that if they blow in a certain direction, I mean, they just fan the fires. So, I mean, And they've always had the Santa Anita winds. I mean, that's nothing with the environment. And that's, you know, that's part of California, those winds. So we haven't had climate change and created the Santa Anita winds. So Mother Nature is tough, and to a lot of areas, and to areas like New York, you know, we're kind of blessed with good weather. We do have our, yeah, Nancy's laughing because of the snowstorm yesterday, but you know, if that's the worst that we get is heavy snow, we can get our streets cleaned and get out in a relatively short time. So, I don't know, but I was going to talk about, Thanksgiving, but let's talk a little bit about the city.
Okay.
We'll
can
go
I just
there.
Give a quick shout out to one of my friends?
Sure.
My friend Matt Riker was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer the other day.
Oh, dear.
And he's a stand-up guy, and it's shocking because he's the healthiest guy I know. And he's doing a benefit run. It starts December 1st, 9 a.m. in front of Marino's Pizza on West Circular Street. And there's going to be 3 different runs/walks. There's a 7-mile combination road and trail run, 5-mile trail run, and a 2-mile walk. So if you're interested in participating, there's going to be an after party at the Barrel House on Beekman Street starting at about 11 a.m. on December 1st. All the donations for this benefit will benefit the Franklin Community Center, and you can go on the Franklin Community Center website and find out more information. So I just wanted to give a shout-out for that.
Yeah, and I think that's franklincommunitycenter.com. if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And if you don't know what the Franklin Community Center is, it would pay you to go to their website and see what they do, and you may want to become either a volunteer or a donor at least, because they need money all the time. And they get donations for their food pantry, but they always run short, and they have an after-school program for kids that can't get picked up till 5 o'clock, and
they do a lot of good in the community.
Yeah,
and also,
they do.
If there's anybody looking for volunteer opportunities, Meals on Wheels, and that's Office of the Aging. They're also looking for people. So if you're interested in doing that, call Office of the Aging at 885-4100.
Now, I don't want you to think this is called Meals on Wheels, but if you're a senior and you want to deliver the Meals on Wheels, that doesn't mean that you can eat them while you're delivering, okay? You have to deliver them to seniors, not eat them while you're delivering. So I'm sure you'll get a lunch, but that's not the case. And there's an awful lot of seniors.
They offer each volunteer a lunch if you want it.
Yeah, and there's not an awful lot of there's a lot of seniors, I should say, that can't get out. And
yeah.
Look forward to this, not only for a chance to say hi to somebody, you know, in person.
Yeah, I like doing it. I've been doing it for over a year now. I do it every Monday.
And neat.
Yeah.
Now you pick up your food out of the senior center, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, they've had that for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd say we're done with Andrew Cuomo, both as governor and the information we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get back to city politics.
Gosh, yeah, let's get to city politics for a while, because there's some things going on again that...
Oh, did I tell you I got my car fixed?
That's right. You were mentioning that. You got your car fixed.
Yeah, it only took, 4 months?
Right.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody the story. It's day before racing season, Thursday, July 19th, so I'm going back a bit, at the corner of Division Street and Broadway, and all of a sudden, bam! I got hit by a city truck, one of those big pickup trucks with a cart in the back, slammed into me. I couldn't believe it. It was shocking. And
did he have a license?
Actually, as it turns out, he did not.
He didn't have a license to drive.
Well, he gets out of the car, starts screaming at me, and I'm just getting out of the car to see what damage was done to my car, and he's saying, well, what are you going to do? Meaning, you know, are you going to call? I mean, you have to call.
Right.
It's the law. You know, so I call the police. They say, okay, you know, where are you? And is the driver still on the scene? Well, right as he's asking me that, he leaves the scene. He goes around the block, comes back, but he left the scene. So he comes back. Police are there. All of a sudden, he's being patted down and told to get in the car. And I'm like, is he being arrested? and the police officer was, he doesn't have a license. So
and
I
you wonder what he did
floored.
When he fled the scene.
Well, yeah, I was wondering what got flung out of the window.
Did he get rid of something?
Perhaps.
They say that a little over 50% of the city employee drivers don't have licenses. So
yeah, if I were working for the city, I'd want to get on that, wouldn't you? If that was your job.
I would want to do that. There's a lot of things that I would want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, no, so you got your car fixed.
Finally got it fixed yesterday, and I have to say Upstate Motor on Maple Ave. I think they're at 594 Maple Ave. Upstate Motor did a fantastic job. Said it was going to take 4 days and only took three.
Good.
And did a great job.
So you're back.
My car looks brand new.
You're back on the road.
Back on the road.
And city trucks have to watch out for you now. You put those bumpers on the front, right? So if you bang into something, you destroy them and your car's okay.
Yeah.
But well, you know,
it's quite shocking. But it took a long time. You'd think you would be an easy process, you know?
No,
not with.
We got in an accident when my oldest was 5 years old, going down Grand Avenue to the sitters. She had off from school. And a city plow truck ran the stop sign on Kirby Road and T-boned the van. And her head hit her baby seat, and she cut her eyelid from one side to the other. And they were very hard to deal with. The city was very hard to deal with.
Hmm.
But here again, you've got to attribute it to not having proper credentials. I just want to mention this. I'm not going to spend any time talking about this, but when people say Saratoga is the most ideal place to spend their time, sometimes you have to wonder. But we had a commissioner's son. I'll leave the commissioner's son's name out of it, and the commissioner Scirocco, I'll leave his name out of it. His son was arrested for DWA, which means he can't do his job. Now, this was back in February on Valentine's Day. Had his license pulled, but still is controlled or works for his father in that special department that his father's, that I'm not going to mention, Public Works. I would never say anything like that. But he has to have a driver now drive him to and fro from his job.
Well, he's been chauffeured for at least several months now.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe even a year now.
And, yeah, $100,000 gone through. But my beef with this isn't that he had a DWI, because that'll be taken care of somehow, you know, court or whatever, but that his father, who is his boss, still has control over what he does. Now, I would think ethically wise that would go to the human resource department to monitor that situation, not his father. It just
boggles the mind.
Yeah. It does, Nancy. I can't figure out how they do things here.
In many ways, and I've said this for years, that this city is often run like it's still the 19th century. And there's so many pluses about Saratoga. There really is. And that's what makes this city, you know, it's beautiful, it's clean, and it's, the leaves didn't get picked up before the snowstorm.
That's right.
Now they're
plowing
all over the road.
Yeah, they had to plow leaves into the road or back into the lawns because they didn't get them picked up.
And that's absurd. I mean, there is absolutely no reason in the world why the leaves, I mean, huge pile of leaves for the past 3 weeks have been just sitting on everybody's, you know, right out in front of everybody's house in Saratoga, and now they're all over the place.
Yep. Well, we certainly can use some better direction in that department, but that's that. Another thing that happened in the city is they're proposing a new garage. City garage for the city center, and on the empty lot at Lake Avenue and what is it? Not Henry Street, High Rock area down there, where they were going to put the one up that got defeated.
Oh, next to Muzan House?
Yeah, next to the Muzan House, a five-story structure with a bridge going over to the city center. And our illustrious Commissioner of Finance wants one floor of stores and like a health market area, fresh market area, which I think is pretty good with a garage over and under you having fresh market with the fumes. But that's our finance commissioner, and not much you can do about that. But
parking is still an issue. I used to make fun of people that talked about parking, but that was like 15 years ago. Clearly, we have an issue with parking.
What, do you find that it's an issue year-round, or it's an issue during the summer?
It is.
It is?
Yeah, there's a few times that I've had difficulty finding a parking space downtown, and I don't normally, because I know where all the secret spots are.
Sure.
But apparently so do a few other people.
Okay.
But it is an issue. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, if I can't find a space to park, then I'm not gonna eat there, or I'm not gonna shop there, and I can understand that.
Oh, I can too, but I didn't realize it was such. I mean, I know during the summer, when you get an influx of 20,000-25,000 people mm-hmm. for the summer, you know, it's really hard to find a parking spot. Not that this will serve the problem, but one of the people that came up over the summer was laughing about our downtown, and they said, they were here for 2 weeks, and he was talking to me at the track, and he said, now, I hear you're having a problem with parking, and I said, yeah, we, you know, it always seems that people complain about the parking, and he said, well, you know what, I think you could gain about 8 parking spots just on Broadway. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, if they would put lines in, you could probably get more cars because people would know where to park. He said, you've got a space where half a car could park in.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but at least you could get maybe 8 or 10 more people to park downtown.
Yeah.
And because it's very hard in the wintertime to park downtown because you can't get out on the passenger side. Because of the snow banks.
Yeah, that's true too.
But I think we are a city of a tourist city and a service industry city. So I think we need all the parking we can get. I would say this is the city's last piece of property that they own,
mm-hmm.
As far as empty. So, you know, I would just want it to be of good use. And I always thought if they build a garage down there that they could have a shuttle up to Broadway, because seniors in, or people in the when it's raining out,
yeah, it's
and
a bit too
they have
far
to
far
walk up, I thought maybe they could have a little bit of a shuttle maybe on the half hour and then bring them back on the half hour. To help get them up to Broadway.
Mm-hmm. That creates a job for somebody.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not, but to me it is.
Yeah, I think that's a
well,
really
see,
good
then
idea.
You agree. That's all that counts. We got two people here that agree on it. So, what else do you have for downtown?
Let's see.
Any of the areas that you would like to see?
I would like to see new curbing by Congress Park over near the Bachelor Mansion.
Okay.
It looks awful. I mean, as pretty as this city is, there's some glaring flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And those bushes that are never...
Oh, the hedge whole, there,
yeah,
the hedges.
It just
ooh.
Looks awful. If
yeah.
you put like a... You know that wall that Empire State College has
yeah.
at the corner, that gray wall? It's been there forever. It's been there, you know, for the past 50 years. It's
mm-hmm.
a very pretty-looking wall. It's gray stone. It's not so high that you can't see over it. I think if they put something like that around the perimeter of Congress Park on Circular Street, I think it would look great.
I think so.
And the hedges just look awful. Some of them... There's not even hedges between the hedges. I mean, it's just, it just doesn't look good.
No, and you know, it doesn't take much to make an area look terrible. You know, you keep those bushes nice and
right,
a lot
and
of people.
There needs to be new curbing along there. And that little staircase that's directly across from 46 Circular Street, get rid of that. It doesn't
right.
serve any purpose.
Oh, boy. We have a we have a good friend who who's asked me a message down on he's down in Bermuda, and I think he wants to call in. So I'm giving him the number.
Okay.
And
yeah, if anybody has
calls.
Any questions for us, call 518-580-5783, WSBN 91.1 FM.
Yeah, and we'll be glad to take your phone call. I know, and the bum sent me a picture of where he is, and Barbados, that's where he is.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know if he's going to be down there for Thanksgiving. I have never heard of wild turkeys right around, running around. Barbados, but we have a phone call. Good morning, sir.
Yes. Yeah, that's Barbados, by the way.
You're in Barbados. Yeah, I got that. Do they have wild turkeys running around Barbados?
No. They had horses on the beach, though.
Horses on the beach. Now, are you down there for Thanksgiving?
I am.
My gosh. Yes.
Am I live on the radio all the way from Barbados?
You're live on the radio from Barbados. You broke the...
I was listening to Nancy's conversation earlier, and I, you know, always reminded me of Nancy's point about smart intersections. And
yes.
I don't know if you covered that before I tuned in or not, but I wish Nancy would kind of go over that again, where, you know, all stoplights were in unison, so the pedestrian safety is put in the forefront, where people aren't trying to cross when other people are instructed to take a left turn.
Yeah, I'll have her talk about that because, you know, when the lights are not synced, it's very hard. And when I was growing up, lights were always synced. They turned red and you crossed when you turned red. Safety, because we get a lot of people out of town and they don't, you know, kind of take into consideration what's going on, you know. But no, I'll have her talk about that. And anything else you would like?
Well, I think a significant, you know, concept really has to be drawn around tourism. We have a significant amount of people coming here, whether it be conventions or tourism, just to come visit for track season or even the winter season to take. We also have to think about our, you know, are our streets safe? Are they plowed? Are they? I looked at the fiasco this morning online about all the leaves that were plowed into the snowbank.
Yeah, we talked about
it. I wonder how we're going to get them out.
Yeah, we talked about that. It, they're going to need the roof shovels that you take the snow off of the house roofs with, and they're going to have to take the leaves out of the snow with those.
So many streets are just plowed in,
and if
we get more or colder weather, they're going to be there till spring.
Yeah, they will be.
And it just creates more of a mess.
And then one last point,
work.
I just want to mention that, you know, Mark Scirocco, the fellow that works for the city that had a DWI that was twice the legal limit, his court date is Tuesday in Milton. I believe it's at 1:30. And I'm hoping that, you know, just like anybody, they get the help necessary to stop any alcohol abuse he might have, but also make sure that proper justice is taken into account here, that this is an employee who potentially could be driving city vehicles, and as Nancy pointed out earlier, some pretty detrimental things are happening when we're not either making sure people have licenses or potentially, you know, under the influence.
You're right. You're right. You're correct. Now, when are you due back? I mean, you can text me that so anybody listening knows they don't have time to go and do anything. But, text me when you're coming back, okay?
Well, enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah,
and,
you
thanks
too,
for
Pat.
Calling, Pat.
It doesn't work on the radio station.
Yeah, give our
it
best.
It does reach all the way here to Barbados. So,
yes,
so you know.
Excellent. And give our best to Beth and the girls. Okay.
We'll do.
Okay,
thank
Pat. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Yeah, I think the discussion of intersections is on point. I noticed too on West Circular Street over by South Franklin Street, they recently implemented stop signs, which seem to curb the speeding through there from the high schoolers coming from West Circular, traveling eastbound. But I've noticed that we probably need a light at maybe Aletta and West Circular. It's very hard. If you are on Aletta Street and you're trying to take a left onto West Circular Street, it's almost impossible to do so.
Right. And you've got so many people coming out of Price Chopper that take
yes.
that street.
Yes, it's a busy, and, very busy thoroughfare, and you have to look both ways, like constantly, just to take a left there because there is that blind spot. And there's other areas, Division Street at South Franklin, or Franklin and Division Street. You have to be nearly in the middle of the intersection to see what's coming, which is not, you know, obviously not very safe.
Right. Well, I think, too, on Broadway, they should have a little more lights that are synced because...
Well, and left arrows that are working. Probably.
Right, left
that's,
arrows,
that's
but you know
issue.
You got so many people in the streets when you're taking, go to take a right and the walk, sign is that way.
And I noticed like a lot of, I know that pedestrians have the right of way within the crosswalk,
right?
But I see a lot of distracted pedestrians. They're on their phones.
Oh yeah, they just walk out.
They'll just walk out, or they don't walk with a sense of urgency. They don't seem to comprehend that you have the light and you also have the right of way.
Right.
And very lackadaisical, which I don't understand. I mean, when I'm a pedestrian, I'm hustling across the street because I know
right.
that I can get hit by a car. And
well,
there's a lot of people that seem to like not have the concept that they can get hit by a car.
And I think one of the worst areas is Adirondack Trust, Post Office, and over to City Hall.
Yes, agreed.
That is heavily trafficked, and a lot of people cross to get to the Post Office or the mm-hmm. bank or, City Hall they can't now because that's not going to be until mid to late next year because of the fire. But plus, we don't know how much it's going to cost to fix City Hall. They won't come out with a figure.
Really? Imagine that.
Imagine that. Or how much they spent already. What are the odds in city politics not to do that? You know what? We never know. But yeah, there's some major intersections, and I think one of the worst is the Post Office, City Hall, and the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank site. I mean,
and now as we run into the holiday season, there's only going to be more car and pedestrian traffic.
Right. And I see nothing wrong with a four-way red stop.
There's cities that are a lot more progressive than.
Well, I've always said that Saratoga is a reactive city. And not a proactive
right.
city. I mean, you know,
because
you're going to wait.
It has to be warm and fuzzy, Rick. Don't you know? That's the rule.
It has to be warm and fuzzy. Well, you know, the signs that are all around the city is Saratoga's a welcoming city.
All are welcome.
Well, all are welcome. Underneath that, you can't see that. Underneath it says only if you agree with us. And
that's the fine print, as they say. You got to read the fine print, right?
That's right. And another thing that is, you know, as
and as long as you're a millionaire, Tom.
And as long as you're a millionaire, one of the other things about crossing the streets without synchronized lights is this time of the year and in the spring when it gets to be dusk, and you have a hard time seeing anyway. And then it gets darker so early that if it's snowing,
at 4:40 now.
Right, or raining, especially the rain, it's very hard.
It is very difficult to see people.
Difficult to see because you got the rain coming on the streets.
And people will blend right in to
sure.
the pavement. I mean, I'm paying attention when I'm driving, but not everybody is. I totally understand how pedestrians get hit, especially if you're wearing dark colored
right.
clothing.
And you're not smiling. A lot of times you can see the teeth, but you can't see the clothes that they're wearing because they're
problem.
Dark. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, I just want to give a few points to Thanksgiving. I don't know. Maybe our New Year's Eve show, we can come up with some more positive thoughts about, you know, what Saratoga can do to make it a more, it is a lot of, there are a lot of people that come to Saratoga to dine. And I think we have per capita more restaurants in San Francisco.
They don't come for the elected officials. They
That's
come
right.
for the restaurants.
They come for restaurants.
Yeah.
But we can talk about some things that, Saratoga could improve on, and maybe we could even be a task force. Who knows? But, you know, the fourth Thursday in November across the U.S. is we gather to feast on turkey, watch football, and gear up for Christmas, which I just want to tell everybody out there that these early decorators for Christmas, right now we haven't even had Thanksgiving, to hold it up a little bit. Because Mary hasn't.
I noticed on Broadway yesterday they already have the wreaths and
I
stuff
know.
Up on the lampposts.
I mean, Mary hasn't even told Joseph that she's pregnant yet. And people are decorating for Christmas. But anyway, the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims after the first harvest in the New World in October 1621. And the feast lasted 3 days, and as accounted by attendee Edward Winslow. It was also attended by 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims. But now history has been revised, and you can guess by who. But supposedly 50 years earlier in Florida was the first Thanksgiving.
My favorite state.
Yes, was the first Thanksgiving. And it was a Spanish conquistador, Francisco Vasquez de Coronado. And the Indians could not pronounce his name, so they executed him. And they're supposedly now had the first Thanksgiving. But I'm sticking with history and people that were there and going with the Mayflower and the Pilgrim. But, you know, I'm going to stick with that. I got a text. The wreaths are up, but the leaves are still down. Oh, bad. So true, so true.
Yeah.
You know, there was no turkey on the menu on Thanksgiving.
I didn't.
Even
know
though
that.
They ran wild and pranced through the woods, they had deer or venison, ducks, geese, oysters, lobsters, eel, and fish, and they probably ate pumpkins, but no pumpkin pies. And I don't understand that because you don't eat a pumpkin like an apple. They also didn't eat mashed potatoes or cranberry relish, but they probably ate cranberries because, as we know, Massachusetts, there, Cape Cod's known for their cranberries. And this surprises me. And I'm very surprised that the Native Indians didn't come up with this. Turduncans. They did not eat turduncans, which is a turkey stuffed with a duck with stuffing around it, and then inside the duck you stuff a chicken. So that's called a turducken. And they didn't have eating utensils because there were none to be found. So you either bit into it like Henry VIII, you picked up a deer leg, or whatever. And Thanksgiving is the reason for TV dinners. In 1953, Swanson had so much extra turkey, 260 tons of it, that a salesman told him they should package it into aluminum trays with other sides like sweet potatoes, and the first TV dinner was born. And I find that great because every once in a while you can get a hungry man dinner and not have to cook, and you can have turkey. What are some of that? Oh, Macy's Thanksgiving Parade began in what year, do you think?
Oh, gosh. I'll say 1849.
No, you're off by almost 100 years. 1924. 400 employees marched up to 145th Street, New York. No large balloons were at this parade, as it featured only live animals from the Central Park Zoo. And they didn't have any floats because the animals wouldn't fit on a float. So
I love the floats.
Yeah, I know. I do, too.
There's nothing more
Now, I'll tell you, if you are in the woods and you come up to a wild turkey, climb up a tree. Because wild turkeys can run 20 miles an hour when they're scared, but domesticated turkeys that are bred and are heavier can't run quite as fast. So if you're out in the woods and you see one of those babies, run for it. And one of the last things before we put Polka Magic on the air is that Ben Franklin wanted to make the turkey our national bird instead of the eagle. And I just want to thank the forefathers for having the common sense not to listen to Ben on that one, I'll tell you. Because if turkey was the national bird, we'd have to eat stuffed eagle for Thanksgiving. And let me tell you, that can't be too tasty. So I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Eat your turkey, take your nap, watch football. Or, as we say, you can go visit Pat Kane down in Barbados. He's made an offer on a text here that anyone that comes down, he'll make sure that he puts them up. And he'll have their traditional dinner of turkey and snorkeling. So just go down and ask Barbados for where Pat Kane is. They'll know who he is right away. So everybody have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next Saturday. And we can tell you how much we ate. All right. Bye-bye now.